Welcome to the Doghouse. Question of the day. How much does it cost to get Eli Tomac to throw a championship? Just kidding. He doesn't need any. He doesn't need any money to do that. He
no does endorsements.
That on, he does no that endorse. On his own all the time. So, yeah, no one's going to pay him for that. Well, they just need to wait a week.
You know, Roczen is doing the same thing too.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Roczen,
which is good because I'm tired of these old folks winning the championships. I'm glad to see that. It looks to me like right now, Hunter's the only one that isn't throwing things away, right? That's all he's got to do is basically race for the podium and not fret. And not fret. Everybody else is throwing it away. If you just do that, you win.
Four races is all left.
Yeah.
Four races left.
Yeah.
Cooper Webb's still 28 points back. That's hard unless Hunter throws it away too. And then it becomes a real tight race.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Right. But I don't see Hunter doing that. He's more likely going to finish off the podium, very close to the podium, and not. I mean, he doesn't do the things like Tomac.
Yeah,
Tomac does the big screw ups. You know, he doesn't mess around.
What about Roczen? I mean, the number one place.
Yeah. Which is good. I mean, that's why we should fling out the curse of death.
You think it's Roczen's to lose? I don't think so.
No.
Well, you're saying it's Hunter's to lose.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
His brothers will be showing up your house any moment.
I didn't see any offers to keep me quiet. So we've made it very clear. We've made it clear. And, you know, we've been giving that away for a long time. So you got to pay or you're going to get the curse.
The problem is nobody under him has given us any money to say it either.
That's true. Nobody gives us money for anything.
They hate us.
Whatever.
Guilty pleasure.
Whatever. And I believe, and we probably, you know, in our pre-show prep, since we're always so well prepped, I believe that World Superbike is this weekend after the 2-year hiatus.
Yeah. I want to say they're in Dutch.
Assen. Assen.
Yeah, Dutch round. Assen.
Yeah. Assen.
Dutch round.
Yeah, I can put my picks in right now.
is it Bulliger times three?
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And we're another week.
Well, you know something? He had a miserable. He's got an Assen curse that he's dealing with. You know, he's had bikes blow up on him there at Assen. He's a DNF. You know,
I want to say something. You're picking on World Superbike right now, and it's been 4 weeks since they raced.
Is it only been 4 weeks? You're kidding me.
4 weeks.
Yes.
MotoGP absolutely. Is going to have. They did America on the 29th.
Mm-hmm.
And they are.
I think the following week, right?
Correct. Yeah, we got 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Yeah, and they won't be. It'll be into May. They didn't race the entire month of April.
Well. You know, I'll be honest with you. I mean, a lot of the top teams in MotoGP got to get their act together. Otherwise, Aprilia is going to run away with it. So they need the time off.
I'm just saying that that's 5 weeks, almost six.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, right? Well, I know.
So
this has been a very
World Superbike.
You know, except World Superbike, I can pick on all the time because they do that. It's rare that after MotoGP starts that they have a 4-week break without it being during
April,
the summer break.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Up to April 26th, so it's a full month. It's 4 weeks. I'm sorry.
Which is rare outside the summer break for them to be off that long, right? So it's kind of weird, but
maybe it's a new trend.
Maybe it's just fortuitous for Marc Marquez because he definitely is not healthy. I don't know that he's going to be healthy for this round, and the Ducatis are just like not there.
They're not what they used to be.
Well, I think they're exactly what they used to be, and Aprilia's gone ahead, and they basically parked where they were on the Ducati and looking forward to 2027. And Aprilia said, well, we got nothing to lose. So,
yeah, I mean, if you're Aprilia, realistically, when they switch motors, you're starting over from scratch when other companies have motors. Yep. So why not dump a lot of money in to try and win one championship? Yeah,
that's right. I agree 100%. That's exactly right.
I think it's smart business.
It's smart business for them because, you know, you got to do that because, I mean, this entire new bike, that everybody's going to be looking at next year. It's a more drastic change than they went through when they, I guess about 10 years ago or longer, since we're getting old, when they dropped out of the 1000s, went back to the 800cc bike. It's a bigger change because they're losing engine mapping controls. They're losing a lot of the, aero, pretty much all the aero, other than the aero that's
engine mapping, some of the traction stuff.
Yeah. Some of the traction control stuff. I mean, it's going to be kind of a wild card thing that actually tends to favor certain riders, like riders that have a flat track background, have got some experience with that. Actually, it's an advantage for them because not having traction control is going to make a huge difference. And those are the riders that can handle it.
MotoGP again.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know. And I don't think anybody else does. Predictions for next year are meaningless at this point. But right now, Aprilia looks pretty non-beatable because it's not just one bike. I mean, all the Aprilias are doing well.
Yeah.
It was applied equally.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. I think next year is such a wild card. And I think, looking at it, I think Aprilia was like, let's push to get our championship, and then because then we can see where we are compared to everybody next year.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's brilliant. I think all the other manufacturers just said, why invest right now when we've got
Yamaha did.
Yeah, we can tell Yamaha did
before they even made the announcement of going back to 2800
Well, I think Yamaha sat down and some executives, so we got nothing to lose. And then they looked at each other and said, really? Have you been watching the races lately? We got a lot to lose.
Coming like 10 years ago. So I'm going to tell you how stupid I am this week. Right. I was just scrolling through the news on my phone, looking at stuff. And I saw this thing about, and it said, AI Agora is getting ready to leave. That might leave Trackhouse. And I'm like, what is AI have to do? So I'm going, what does AI have to do with
Yeah, you are pretty Trackhouse stupid.
And Agora. No, I was like, no, I Agora. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
But it took me 15 minutes to figure out what AI had to do with any of that. I'm reading the article. I'm like, what the?
Don't feel bad, Phil, because I saw that same article and I did a second take. I looked at it as an AI.
It's the newest competitor for ChatGPT.
Yeah, right.
I was like, I was literally confused, and I'm like, what? And I was like, oh no, stupid, that's his first name.
Yeah, I don't quite. Did you read the story?
I behind did.
It? Yeah, it's kind of weird, don't you think? That why would they part ways? What's the reasoning that they would part ways?
I don't think he's old, right?
No, he's very young. He's very young. He's in his early 20s, like 23.
Yeah.
Why would they part ways? And he's actually shown some this year, right? This year we've actually seen him be competitive. So why would they part ways? Is it financial?
Well,
is it an attitude problem?
Well, so I kind of looked to see like who they wanted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Trackhouse is American.
Yes, they definitely are.
And I thought maybe they have their eye on an American.
Yeah,
but it would be nice, but no.
I have no idea who. Don't get me wrong. I have no idea who.
Well, that's for 2027. So, fingers crossed. It could be PJ Jacobson, who's just moved up to the superbike. So
PJ Jacobson's still young.
He's still young.
In some ways has flat track experience, mm-hmm, which might be helpful next mm-hmm year.
Yeah, I think it would be helpful.
Right, pretty helpful.
But that's the only one I can think of that would make clear sense, because if they're going to move up somebody all the way to GP, that's a big leap, right? And I don't think they'd do it with Gerloff.
I can't see him doing it with Joe Roberts, because he just has struggling to break through in Moto 2.
And he's been having a lot of health problems. He's been beat up the last couple seasons. So I
don't take a few hits.
That's just me speculating. Yeah. That is not me, like, I have any insight.
That's the same thing I'm doing. I mean, the only one I can think of offhand would be PJ Jacobson, because otherwise you're going to an old rider. And I just don't see an old rider ever going directly to GP.
Or the other thing that I think, right, is that there's somebody that they think isn't going to get a factory ride that they can snatch out of Moto 2 and put on that bike for a little while.
You know, or you know, we could all be dumbfounded, and it could be Roberts, because you know. I think, and maybe that you're saying, you know, maybe he'll be healthy by 2027. Who knows?
Could be. I don't know.
Yeah, I would, my bet would be on PJ Jacobson for a lot of reasons, right?
If the they flat were going track American, I think that's a smart move.
Yeah, and he gets a year on Superbike this year, so he'll have that under his belt. So
and he's got still a big leap experience.
Still a big leap.
That's a huge leap.
Not going through Moto 2, it makes it very tough for a rider, because look what Razgatiyagi was going through, going off a Superbike.
He's not a Yamaha.
Well, I mean,
yeah, you got to discount his issues a little bit on a Yamaha.
Yeah, that's the great equalizer, right? Being on a Yamaha, but he's having other problems other than just power. I mean, that is arguably the best handling bike, but has no power, right? He's having other problems, not just speed problems, because Quartararo. Now it's the last round wasn't great for Quartararo, but Quartararo seems to be able to do a lot more with that bike than he's able to do with it.
Yeah,
so
but he's got plenty of years experience at MotoGP too.
I agree.
That's why I'm saying that was my point. You're making my point for me, Warren. I'm saying going from Superbike into GP is really, really hard, right? And not only that, Mark Marquez told him that before he came over. Said this is going to be very, very difficult. It's a whole new world. So
yeah. But, you know, here's what I'm going to say, and mm-hmm. I could be way off, yeah. Right? In the past, especially if they're going to detune the electronics on that bike, Americans could race flat track always did well in MotoGP
Electronics. Yeah, I agree. Right?
So
I agree.
PJ's got a flat track background. He's mm-hmm. got some world experience, right?
And not only that, when was the last time you saw a Superbike rider go to GP and be successful? I can only think of one rider in recent history, and that would be Spies.
Yeah.
That's the only one I can think of is Ben Spies.
That's about it.
Yeah, and a couple of years before that was Colin Roberts.
But even then, it's been long enough now that when Ben Spies went over there, that's pre-Aero and pre a lot of the traction control. I mean, all not just that, but a lot of the electronics updates.
I mean, right? I like for Americans, I like the whole God, I wouldn't have to have a 10-year younger JD Beach with the switches they're making to the bikes.
Yeah.
You want to talk about somebody that's just going to fling it and not care that the tires are spinning and sliding, right?
Well, I didn't want to talk about Moto America today, but it's going to be interesting to see, you know, now JD Beach has got a super bike ride. He's going to be teammates with Bobby Fong.
That's an interesting team. I
think it's a great team. I think it's a great team. And the other thing too is, you know, with Cameron Bouvier going to the top Ducati team, I'm thinking that's going to be a tough combination. If he makes that adjustment to that Ducati, that's going to be really tough.
Yeah.
Really tough.
I mean, so. I think there's going to be a lot of weird stuff going on.
Like Herron going back to Yamaha. I don't get that. I really don't get that. So
I don't know why Ducati wasn't happy with Herron, unless Herron just wanted more money.
He got a better offer. Yeah, that's my guess. He got a better offer to go back to his old team, right? He's going back to his old team.
Yeah,
maybe.
Well, I you know, he also likes to have the winning bike. And now that Ducati looks like the winning bike.
Exactly. But the thing about it is again, money talks, right? So if Yamaha's making me a good deal, it's a comfortable transition for him, because he rode that bike before. An older version of it, obviously, but that's sort of home for him was Yamaha. So money and that, He may be saying, I might only race a season or two more. Go for the money. And I can't argue with that.
No. And he's also racing that electric bike now as well.
Yep.
So he's going to have two. He has two rides.
That thing's fast. Yep. Have you watched any of his videos?
Yeah, it is. That thing is fast.
That thing is scary fast out of a corner.
Yeah. Like, but it doesn't have the top speed that the superbikes have.
It has it's like you
incredible acceleration.
It's like you're there. You're just
Yeah.
It's like whoo.
So before we run out of time, we guess we should mention what took place in Supercross this weekend.
There's a couple things going on there.
Yeah.
I guess we could.
Yeah, we did mention that, you know, Roczen and Tomac had a pact before the race to see who was gonna throw it away first.
So
Hunter gets the win at a perfect time, right? When his competitors weren't really scoring points, which they always say, right? Take advantage of it, right?
Yeah, you gotta take advantage of the bad.
You gotta take advantage of it. And with four races left, that was great timing for Hunter. You know, and Cole Davies, he pretty much has got it right for the East. So
yeah, he even got off a bad start. Mm-hmm. Didn't have a good place to begin with, and he still just came through and won it. Although
the thing is, I think this is bad for the series, right? That both the 250 East and West have one rider dominating the series, right? I just don't think that's good. It's not a good audience experience.
Those are the only two guys who are being consistent.
That's why they're dominating, right? Yeah, they're the only two that are being consistent. Like, but Deegan is not, you don't think of Deegan and think of a guy that's consistent other than he's always fast, right? He's just faster than everybody.
He's so much better than all the rest of the people.
He's just better.
If you look here in fifth, sixth place is Shimoda and points.
Yeah.
I'm saying,
yeah,
it's Shimoda and Thrasher, and then Pierce Brown is in ninth place. Those are all guys we were talking last year.
Yes,
hey, these guys are going to be in it. Jaleek Swole, who they pushed so hard in motocross,
he's done, isn't he?
Place, he's pretty much done.
Yeah, he's
Colin
done.
Park, we talked about him in surprise races last year. Yeah. He's sitting down there in 14th points.
So that's all that. And with one riders in each of those two series, you know, basically doing what they need to do, there's nobody that's competitive with either one of those.
I look at the West and I see within 6 points of each other, Kitchen, Ansi, and DeFrancisco.
I had a question.
I think to myself, that's okay, right?
Yeah, that's like, okay. Yeah,
Deegan's just dominant, and those three guys are battling. And I think that's okay. And Max Volan is not too far behind them guys. And I think, okay.
But in the West, it's already over. So
yeah, the West is over. But
and it's pretty close on the East as well.
It'll be over in a week.
It's 20 points from, not exactly, it's 19 points, right?
Right.
And stuff. But it's 20 points from Davies to Hamaker, 20 points from Hamaker to Bennick, 20 points from Bennick to Shock. You know, and then you got Shock Shimoda and Devin Simonson and Thrasher all within 10 points. And then it's 30 points down.
Yeah, it's the whole field is spread out.
It's like nobody's showing consistency.
Which, again, is, you know, my point. You'd rather see a battle for the championship. Yeah. And it really hasn't been a battle in either the East or the West, right? So in the 450s, it looked great, which it's the premier series. It looked great for a while, and then, you know, now not so much, right? Because what do we have? We had five guys within 8 points at one point in the season, not that long ago.
Yeah.
And they've all not anymore.
Yeah.
No.
So.
But I mean.
Well, the Nashville track was really rough, and it caused a lot of guys to have some serious
problems. But everybody races on the same track.
Yes, that's true.
You know, and that's the thing. You can't use the track as an excuse. The track can suck and make it hard for everybody, but it makes it hard for everybody, you know.
Yeah, but, a couple of folks cut the corners and, you know.
Oh, I saw that,
Two people got penalties for it. One got a smack on the wrist. Don't do it again.
Yeah.
You know, Fernandez lost two positions, but Yeah, it was trouble for a lot of folks.
Well, you know, he's got nothing to race for because Warren will never say his name correctly.
No.
You know?
Warren don't even know his name.
He doesn't even know his name.
I don't even know why he still has a ride.
He's French. He should be gone.
Because he's probably going to continue to ride until you say Fernandez.
Hey, okay. No, I'm with not gonna Warren. Happen. He's French with a Spanish name. Screw that guy. Right? He's just appropriated.
Well, he's done his part.
Even with the penalty, that was still Ducati's best finish of the year.
Yep.
Sixth place.
Yep.
Yeah. But, which, you know what? I think for a first year, that's not terrible.
No, it's not.
No. No, not at
no,
all.
It's not terrible.
I don't think that's terrible. I'm looking forward. I'd love to have another brand up there battling, right?
Yep.
Another brand to bring a top rider on, you know, yep. Stuff like that.
For the first season, I mean, not having a bunch of DNFs because Supercross is really hard on the chassis in these motorcycles.
Yeah.
And they're throttle on, throttle off, throttle on, throttle off. It's really hard on the engines as well. So for Ducati, I think that's a promising
yeah,
first
I
season.
Think, yeah, I think they had a good season.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, they didn't win. Yeah, they haven't podiumed.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't have a rider, I think, capable of winning or podium.
No, now, they don't.
I'd be I think really if you're interested in motocross.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Because it's motocross is a lot easier on the bike overall because
and
you're more
they
on
got a
throttle
guy that
than
can
on.
Run motocross.
Yes, exactly. So we'll see. We'll see. But to me,
just
finishing in the top half of the field, any Ducati is a win for the season.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I can't. He's sitting like, I think, 11th in points, which is not great.
It's not great, but it's for your first season, it's not terrible.
First season on a
if you,
on a new
I mean,
bike.
if you get a top 10, that's that would be huge for your very first season. Ducati's not known for building motocross bikes, so that's for a first season, that's pretty damn good.
I mean, I'm gonna say something really like hateful right now, but Triumph's in what, their third season?
Third
and
or fourth,
if you go
yeah.
to manufacturer points, Ducati's ahead of them by a big margin.
Yep.
Yeah, they've had bikes. They've had a bad season this year. They did better last year than they're doing this year.
Yeah.
So if I'm Ducati, I'm not unhappy. I'm not.
No, I wouldn't be. And if they had gone into this expecting they would do any better, then you know that's kind of stupid.
They're a little arrogant, but
because you know that Honda, Yamaha, and KTM are gonna control the series. You're not going to compete with them in your first season.
Yeah, so I'm just, you know, I kind of am.
It's a win. I think for Ducati, they got to look at this as being a successful first season for sure.
Yeah, I would hope.
Their bike hasn't come apart, so that's even better.
That's a big thing in Supercross. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
At least as they can build a pretty rugged chassis, which you have to have to run Supercross. Now, I don't know. You know, maybe they're having a lot of chassis flex, and that's been holding them back a little bit. They'll do better than in motocross.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And Fernandez is much more comfortable on motocross than supercross.
Yeah, but he's the guy that I, you know, really thought not so many years ago, but I guess it is many years ago, that the guy was going to be a very competitive supercross rider. But he's like had everything possible go wrong. You know, mostly hit by his own, you know, hand, but he still has never turned out to be the racer that everybody thought he was going to be, you know, when he moved up. He was very strong in the 250s. He was extremely strong in the 250s, right?
Well, that just shows you, you know, everybody's like, oh, Deegan's going to dominate. It shows you there's been a lot of guys who were strong in 250s.
More that haven't.
More often than not.
Yeah, more often than not. So
no, I agree.
You know, it's to me actually, you know, I hate to toot Jet and Hunter's, you know, horn at all, but those two guys very seamlessly went to the 450s.
Yeah.
Jet more so even than Hunter. Yeah. So but Hunter's more likable, so leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
Roxanne's borderline more likable than Jet.
Could be true.
That's just a killer thing to say. Just a terrible thing to say, Ken.
Yeah, they even had a 4-minute special on Roxanne in between the races. I don't know if you guys saw that or not.
I did. I watched
the tape, and I saw Ken Roxanne, and I just fast forwarded. I don't know how long it was. I didn't care.
About 4 minutes. So it was the size of a
that's
chunk of
4 minutes
time.
too long. It only took me like 30 seconds to fast forward through that at eight
Well,
times
I told
speed.
you guys the main thing that I'm looking for next season, is who will end up being less likable, Jet or Deegan, right?
We should
That's what
put
it's going to
that
be.
In the book of no accountability.
Yeah, we should.
Like our picks on that. I mean, that's even better. Like, who's going to be the bigger villain?
Yeah. Well,
it'll
I
be,
mean,
for the first year, it'll be Jet because Deegan will get a lot of grace the first year.
I don't know about that because
there's a lot of hate for Deegan.
And not only that, there's going to be very unrealistic expectations for Deegan. And that's what he set himself up. When you're that dominant, he's going to go in there and you never know it. Young kids, how will they handle the pressure?
And the other thing is he kind of likes being the bad guy.
Because that's his father's whole story, right?
Yeah,
is being
he
the bad guy.
So he doesn't care that people hate him.
No,
right?
No, he,
there's
no, he
money
didn't care.
In being a heel.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't have a
Yeah.
great. You
Yeah.
can't have a great hero if you don't have a great. What's the best
Villain.
movie?
You
The
need a
ones with the
villain.
great bad guys.
You need a villain. That's
You
going to be the
need a villain.
competition. That's going to be the competition. You should get the book of no accountability.
The book of no accountability is out.
I'll make a prediction right now.
That you're completely not accountable.
The best
for.
Thing that ever happened to Jet Lawrence is Deegan moving up. Not because Deegan won't provide competition, but for once, it'll actually make Jet's head shrink down a little bit, right?
414.
Because all the air will be taken up by Deegan's head.
Best thing to ever
happen to Jet Lawrence.
To Jet.
From an overall publicity.
Yeah, no,
thing.
I get it.
I could still see, Deegan definitely beating him, but I just think, it's going to take away some of that assholiness
I think
from,
it's going to make
Jet.
Jet. I think it'll make Jet a better racer.
It could.
Oh,
it could.
That will be.
It could.
I think the two of those.
He's already a great racer, so it's even that makes him better.
I think the threat of not being number one is going to push him.
Yes.
I think the potential of not being number one, more than that, there's always a threat, right? But there's a guy who might be able to, if Dean comes up and wins one of the first two races next year or does really well in motocross, right?
Yeah.
It's going to force Jet, who right now is pounding everybody, and he's going to push it even harder. Now, whether he falls or keeps up, does he Sexton dump it because he pushed too hard, or does he manage to hold on? Is the story?
I wouldn't read too much into motocross because Jet's got a distinct advantage in motocross. A distinct advantage.
I don't know. Deegan's won every amateur championship you can imagine and rode a bunch of motocross. Yeah. I don't know if I think Jet has a distinct advantage.
I do. You can put that in the book of no accountability. I'm more than happy to be not accountable for that statement.
You think? Ooh, yeah.
Entries in one day.
Two entries in one show.
But I'm not accountable, so I could say anything.
I could say three pages.
Here's my prediction.
Book.
Phil lets the hair on his head grow in for next season. There's my prediction. Yeah. Put it in the book of no accountability.